This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Welcome to episode 166 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So awesome to be with you here tonight. It is a good day. It's a great day. It's a day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So glad all you guys and gals are here with me tonight, or today, however you're listening to this. As always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, source all the stuff you can yourself. Everything you can't, go check out Heaven's Harvest. They, by far, are the number one seed place. Well, the seeds they do have are batting 1,000. We've talked about it before. If you need any of their stuff over there, remember, go check it out. 10% will get you, actually, promo code PERMA will get you 10% off. Sorry about the tongue twisting. I don't understand why, because I'm hopping and popping tonight. Maybe I'm a little too excited. Sometimes, you know, the brain goes a little bit faster than the mouth. So let me just kind of reel it on back a little bit. All right. With that said, if you would like to go ahead and check us out on the Fountain app, you can do it over there. You can pay us in a, if you so desire, you can listen to all your stuff for free over there. But if you'd like to drop a derivation of Bitcoin called sats, you can definitely do it on the Fountain app. So if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, or singular as it is tonight, you can do it on the Fountain app. All right, well, Michelle is war smooth out. We went to town today. We don't really take days off per se. Well, we do on Friday till Saturday, basically Friday, you know, till six, and then we make ourselves kind of totally chill out in the Sabbath until, you know, Saturday about 6 o'clock. And man, today was one of those days we had to go to town. Boy, what an adventure. She went out there, added another 10 pounds to her ruck, so maybe she's up to, what, 45 pounds? She did, I don't know, 8 miles today, but she's stepping it out. 15-minute miles, y'all. That's about as fast as you can walk with a rucksack without running. I mean, that's really, really stepping it out. So she's down there getting, she's got that Redemption Shield grounding mat around her. And once again, folks, this thing sells itself. I'm not trying to sell it. I mean, the stuff really works. And she's basically took a shower and sitting on the couch, you know, kind of, you know, set up on that thing. It happens when you walk on concrete. So that's where she was today. But yeah, her training's going well. She's getting all set up for that ruck march and is maybe thinking about a way to probably turn that into some kind of fundraiser, you know, for something worthwhile, like Caleb House or maybe Vets for Child Rescue, anything like that. So anyway, went to town. While she was doing that, I had to do a bunch of running around. So we go to town basically once a week anyway. So she's thinking, okay, we'll bundle something with it and I'll go out there and ruck. She had something of a stomach bug, and the same thing that was bothering me yesterday, it seemed to be short-lived, but she had a version of it this morning. And she's, I'm telling y'all, she is as hard as 3 times 9, let me tell you. So she went out there, sucked it up, and she's just a little bit wore out. So we'll hopefully have her in on the next one. Well, anyway, while she was doing that, I went over there, and that's a good time for me to go around to my partners and pick up all the stuff I was talking about all these times in the past, how we feed our chickens. Basically, all of our omnivores, we feed for free with, I mean, I'm talking food so good, y'all, you can literally eat it out of the trash can. It's that good. You've seen me do videos on it before. But this stuff, the way it works at some of these places is that whatever they can't sell, they give to the homeless as long as it looks okay. And then whatever they don't eat, or if it's just too ugly, they don't even give it to them. So they give it to me. And it's honestly more than I can possibly. Folks, I'm telling you what, if I had a full-time compost business, I would be, there would be zero shortage of all the scraps I could put in this stuff. And I'm talking like high-end scraps, not some stuff that you're giving on, put it this way, not the stuff that Michelle Obama was given on the lunch line at these public schools. Nothing like that. I'm talking some really high-end stuff. But check this out. Did my running around. Unfortunately, had to go on the Sam's Club. Folks, I'm going to do something of a mental experiment here. Just work with me. I've been thinking this for years and years and years, and it applies to places like Sam's and Costco. Okay, so a lot of people out there, you probably got a Sam's card, you got Costco, or if you don't, you've been in one more than likely. Now, what do? You walk in the front door. You got to show them your card, okay, which I've been complaining for years. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why would you ask me to show my card on the way in when I clearly can't check out without it? Then you go in there, get your stuff, and it's like every, now, being of the preparedness mindset, I'm always looking at things. And ladies, I just want to encourage you out there. I know your mind is on what you're looking for. But good night, man. Pickpockets could have a field day up in that place because I was like, man, I can't believe how many people are just not aware of their surroundings. Somebody could easily switch into your purse and grab whatever it is you have and get out of there. So if nothing else, man, make it a little bit easier. Zip that thing up. Don't leave it wide open, making yourself an easy mark, because 100% of the people I observed in there were easy marks. I mean, a pickpocket, easy. You know, it reminds me of that time when I was in Kentucky, and it was that last time there was a major eclipse. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And I'm sitting out there, and I remember telling my buddy David, I was like, you know what? A pickpocket would make a fortune out here. Yeah, that's what happens when your early life was in a life of crime. You look at those things. So anyway, folks, when you're in places like any place, really, times are getting harder and people are getting more desperate. So they're going to be cleaning you out if you're not looking. So stay alert, stay alive when you're at these places. But anyway, getting in there, there's a couple of elderly ladies just like standing at the entrance. I'm like, okay, what is going on here? I'm waiting here for what seemed like an eternity. And the guy at the door, I'm like, I look at him. I'm like, for real? I mean, can you get them to kind of like pull this over to the side or something? And I was like, they were completely oblivious that they are at an entrance having a conversation and nobody can get by. And Asheville, you know, everybody is polite to a fault. I'll put it that way. And then finally, you know, we waited long enough and I'm like, okay, clearly that's an issue. Well, check this out. Here's where I get into the conspiracy part of it. Yeah, I know I'm a conspiracy theorist. Ha, ha, ha. But think about this. I think this is absolutely slave training, what they do in these places, and I don't comply. I'll explain here in a minute. You go in there, you got to show a card, which is stupid because you can't check out without it. As you go to the checkout line, you got to, you know, scan your card, check your stuff. You got your receipt, and instead of walking out of that door, they got to pad you down. They got to check your stuff on the way out the door. Well, I don't even know what was going on. They had two lines going on. And I do this every single time I go in there. And I don't know if anybody else wants to do it, but this is what I do. And if there is a line, I'm like, okay, I paid for this stuff. It belongs to me. I am not going to be accosted. If they want to take my card back, you're welcome to it. But I do it every single time I go in there. If there's a long line, if there's a regular line, I'll just go through the prison checkpoint and let them, you know, get me out. But if I'm going to be waiting for any period of time, I'll take that cart, I'll go right back through, and I'll go out the entrance. And that's what I do pretty much every single time. And of course, they're yelling at me, and I'm like, hey, is this my stuff? I paid for it, right? Yeah. Okay, well, I don't need to be inspected. I mean, it may be your policy, but it's not mine. I'm going to go out this way. So that's exactly, I do it every, maybe not every single time. I'd say of the number of times I've been there, and believe me, I would go to a Costco if I had the option around here. There just are no Costcos here. But every single, I would say 95% of the times I leave Sam's Club, I'm either zipping on past the line, I'm not going to be inspected. What I'm saying is, why does anybody comply? You bought this stuff. I paid for it. It's mine. I got the receipt. I'm going out this store. You want to call security and knock yourself out, they're only going to find out I got what I paid for. But I really believe that, and I've been complaining about this since I was a kid, y'all. This same exact thing. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then as I got older, I'm thinking, and then in light of all the other things, you know, the manufactured pestilence and everything else, I'm like, man, I can't help but wonder if this isn't slave training, because it makes no sense for you to badge in on the way in. Not one person has ever given me a logical answer for that. So anyway, I won't waste any more of your time talking about Sam's Club, but yeah, it stinks. Anyway, here we are into, oh my goodness. The only reason I'm bringing this up because I think I got a great idea for video. And if anybody thinks it's too far over the top, let me know, but I'm still going to do it anyway. So Black History Month. Black History Month. Got a whole month for Black History. We got a Pride Month. We got a month for just about everything. But we only get a Veterans Day, Memorial Day. But we get an entire month for all these other things. Black History Month. How about just History Month? So I got this idea for a video, and I'm seriously thinking about doing it. It's the logistical concerns to make it happen. Kind of did something of an experiment today. And folks, I really did this. Just as a, before I actually filmed this, I wanted to do something of a test point. And so anyway, I went into this place as I'm going out working with my partners. I know Michelle's going to be a couple hours, so I got a little time to kill. So went and get work with my partners, got that stuff. That's relatively simple. And then went over to Sam's Club, did that. You know about that. And then I said, well, let me walk into this place. I won't say what it is, but anyway, I walked in there. There's a girl working at the counter, and I said, hey, it's Black History Month. And she's like, oh, so she's like halfway falling. I'm like, hey, you think I can get one of them reparations donuts over there? And she's like, okay. And I'm like, what? This actually worked? I know there was another guy named Hotep Jesus that did something like reparations coffee. And I was literally thinking about going around hitting a couple of these businesses just as a way to break up some of the homesteading videos. I have this list. I know it sounds crazy, but I got this long, crazy list. Everybody has a bucket list of things, places they want to go, things they want to do, things they want to see. Yeah, I know I'm weird, but mine's a little bit different. Mine consists of a bunch of social experiments that I've been wanting to do for years. And one of them, for the longest time, has been to be on a street corner, because Asheville, you go into town, there is not a traffic light where there is not, and I think a lot of them are pretend to be homeless people because they sure dress awful nice for people that are supposedly homeless. You can never read their signs, but they're always out there. Some of them obviously do have some mental issues and other issues, but I actually want to go out there and hold up a sign and instead of the tearjerker thing, make people laugh. And see if I could raise money and give it away to something like Caleb House or Veterans for Child Rescue, just as a social experiment. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff on my bucket list. Another one is go out there and hold up a sign, maybe wear a shirt that says Black History Month, and hold up a sign that says absolution of your white guilt for $20, just to see what would happen in a hyper blue city, just to see, you know, and then do some kind of crazy ritual or whatever when they fill up the kitty. But I was wondering how much money I could actually raise for a worthwhile cause and at the same time answer some of these questions that have long perplexed me. Yeah, I know it sounds stupid, but I'm seriously thinking about doing a video like that. I think it'd also be kind of funny, too, if I hit some of these restaurants. Like I said, let them come up with these mask mandates all over again. You're going to see a brother act a fool up in this place because I am going to have some fun. And the best way, it's always... Look, I learned long ago from a guy named Lou Rockwell. He has lourockwell.com, the Mises Institute. He said something a long time ago that has never left me, and it's always rung true every time I've examined it for myself. What is it? The powers that shouldn't be, the thing they detest above all is being laughed at, especially when it comes to their policies. So one of the best ways to go about it, and you know, when I want, I do have a gift for comedy, if you know, if I want. And I can honestly make videos that mock the thing they want everybody to take seriously. And I mean every single part of it. Now, the real problem is, you know, I got a farming YouTube channel, so you know, you kind of lose people when you do that sort of thing. But I ain't never been in this for, I'll be honest with you, y'all, YouTube pays us almost nothing. So I'm not in it for that. I've never been in it for that. I always saw whatever business I do as a byproduct of just trying to do good work and helping people. And that's always worked well for me, no matter, before I got into the YouTube space, in the other businesses I've had, that's always been my policy, is just do good work and the money will come. I think when you put the cart before the horse, it doesn't work out that way. So I'm not too concerned about doing it on YouTube. I'm just wondering, I don't know. I don't know if it's a wonderful idea, but honestly, I'm of the mindset these days, I will owe no debt to my destiny. And if it's something simple like that, man, I want to find out. I'm going to probably do it, and we're just going to see how it works out. But anyway, other farm news. Man, I am getting a workout and a half walking up these mountains holding those bales, y'all. And I'm not talking, these aren't those little, you know, rinky-dink bales that you get from, you know, a Tractor Supply if they have it or anything like that. No, the bales I'm getting, man, these are some really, really awesome bales, way cheaper than anything you'd buy at a regular farm store. And these things are 40 pounds, every bit of 40 pounds, probably more, some of them. And I'm walking up the side of these mountains and I'm like, okay. And it all comes down to how you look at it. So I'm like, okay, well, this is a pretty doggone way to get a workout, I suppose. I mean, I'm definitely huffing and puffing by it, and it's only going to get higher and higher and higher as it goes on. So, you know, think about the ways in which you can overlap some of those chores and maybe get yourself something out of it. That's exactly when it comes down to things that I really don't. There's always going to be things nobody ever wants to do or things you don't like to do. And the way I turn that around is absolutely positively, without a doubt, using other means to make it joyful. And at the end of the day, I'm always saying, man, you know, I really, you know, what's this silver pasture going to look like when I'm done with this? Man, every step, that's exactly what I'm doing to motivate myself. And I got to be honest with you, it absolutely positively works. All right, so here we go. I was going to try to do some weed eating today, but we were out a little bit too long for that. But it looks like the weather's going to turn nice. So you know what that means. It's going to be some extract time for me. And that's really going to be the answer to one of the questions I know we have that people are wanting to know about. So that's really something. Whenever it's not freezing, basically, I am taking this extract. Folks, if you haven't listened to it, listen to the interview I did with Jack Spirko yesterday. I mean, my man is wicked smart. I know he's kind of embarrassed whenever I, you know, go on about him, but honestly, he is really one of the best in this space when it comes to so many different things. There are so many man, I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say it. Folks, if you only knew how many frauds there are in this YouTube space and in this podcast space, it would blow your mind. I mean, places I've seen with my own two eyes, or people that go on about preparedness and permaculture and practical living, and they don't know anything. I mean, when I say the man unannounced, you know, just roped him into doing a class with me at a festival in Middle Tennessee at SOE, the Self-Reliance Festival, and he went out there and taught this class as if he had my notes. My man is super sharp. And the method he came, his version of it, he didn't invent the bioreactor, obviously. But it's one of those ways for all the people out there that are living in small spaces, you might want to check his course out. Because as I'm going through this, y'all, I'm like, this answers so many questions for all the people that are hitting me up saying, hey, I live in a very small, you know, I have a small backyard, don't have a whole lot of space, and I got to be able to make this stuff go a long way. Is it going to make enough? Yes. When you make extract, you can take this stuff, this super power, supercharged, absolutely wonderful stuff. You can take it and do extraordinary things just by stripping it off. When I say stripping it off, I'm talking about stripping off the organisms that are in the aggregates. And that's what you do. So you can go out there, put this reactor together, and then take that stuff, make some extract. It ain't that hard to do. I got a way of doing it. I even did a video on it. And it works like nobody's business. So if you only have a very little bit of compost, you'd be shocked at what you could do. So, and it, honestly, it just takes the dummy work out of it. He's made it very, very simple. So I would highly recommend go out, check out the Survival podcast, listen to that previous episode, and we're going to try to do more collaborations together in terms of YouTube content, because he's just so incredibly filled with unbelievable knowledge. The guy is a doggone savant in so many different ways, and I just feel lucky to know him. So go check that out. But that's exactly what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, because it looks like, look, I'll be honest with y'all. I lived in a lot of places. We built a lot of farms in a lot of different places, and there is never a place I've ever lived that had better weather than where I live in the mountains right here. I mean, not even close. It's so cool because you're high enough at 3,000 feet where I am roughly. You're high enough to avoid the humidity, but you're low enough to get all of the fertility. In permaculture, the higher you go, the less fertility you typically have. So I'm in that very, very sweet spot. Here's what's so cool about it, is in the summers, when everybody else thinks it may be hot elsewhere, it's not hot here. It's never hot to me or to Michelle or anybody else that, you know, came from a very, very hot, nasty, humid place like Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. When you come here, you think you're in paradise. And the amount of perfect days you have in a year around here will floor you. It will absolutely blow your mind, the number of absolutely perfect days. And in the winter, half the time I'm out here in a t-shirt, not showing off. I'm just saying it's not cold because of the low humidity. It's why when I was up in Alaska, you can wear very little. Or when you're high in Colorado, you can be on the slopes out there in a t-shirt. You can do it because it's just the air is so dry that you feel so much warmer with very little. So I've never been in a place where there are so many perfect days. In fact, in Texas, honestly, when we were there, or even Oklahoma or Kansas, Nebraska, I'd say the number of perfect days for me, you could probably count on both of your hands in a year. And honestly, where I live right now, the number of perfect weather days, as far as it just feeling comfortable out there, I could be out there in a t-shirt, is probably three quarters of the year to me. I mean, that's astonishing. So I thank the Lord for that. I absolutely positively love it here. All right. So another little thing I want to make sure I reach out to y'all. I'm getting plagued with. We got a lot on the plate, and Michelle's working on trying to get us a new email account because Gmail is sticking it to us like nobody's business, y'all. So if you're reaching out and I'm not responding, it's because I'm not getting it. There are business issues. Like I said, we run several businesses, some of which I don't talk about here. And the reason for that, and I've said it in other interviews, the reason for that is because I like to say what's on my mind. We live in a cancel culture world, and I'm not going to give somebody the opportunity to wipe me out or do to me what they try to do to Joel Salatin, where they get some lunatic claiming that he's a racist or whatever. Well, The cool thing is the way we set up our business systems, it's like a permaculture system. There's not one point of failure. So I keep some of this stuff to myself. But anyway, some of the business emails that I'm getting, or whether it's from you guys or anybody else, they're playing games with me. It's either in the spam folder, and the way it's set up, it just dumps itself. Or somebody will say, hey, man, I emailed you 1,000 times. Or I've had consistent emails to a person, and it gets down to the consequential part, and then all of a sudden, it's in my junk folder, when I've gotten 10 other emails from these folks. So, just kind of letting you know that there's some weird, weird, crazy stuff going on. All right. So one more thing, y'all, I just want to point this out. Now, I know we got good news section, but I got to point this out because it should be front page news everywhere. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, and I got rid of the bad news section. I mean, you don't need more of that for me, but unless it's something of real note, I want to make sure I point it out to you. And this is one right here. Came from Glenn Greenwald at The Intercept. And here's the headline. U.S. military personnel in Iraq put on standby to support ground involvement in Israel's war on Gaza. All right, I made it very clear where I stand on all this. I'm an isolationist. Okay, yeah. Until every grandma and grandpa in this country, every homeless vet has a home, until grandmothers are no longer flipping coins to figure out whether or not they're going to either to eat dog food that day or take their heart medication. Until all that happens, not one dime needs to go overseas, not to Israel, not to anybody. And as far as being our ally, you know where I stand on that. I think history, I can prove, and I will happily debate anybody that says otherwise. I can fill volumes from the top of my head with all the reasons why I think it's not the case. In fact, I know it's not the case. But anyway, here it is, our guys and girls. We already got three of them killed the other day. And by the way, the official story on that, for everybody that's thinking, oh, shoot, let's go over there and go do this, this, and that. Remember, everything you think you know about that story was told to you by profligate liars. Think about that. Every single thing you think you know. And then we got insiders coming out saying, whoa, these people were killed over there in Syria. First of all, what were they doing in Syria? Now, I'm more inclined to believe the other people. Look, I won't go down that road. What I'm going to say, y'all, keep your powder dry. The powers that shouldn't be are doing, this is why it's permaculture, preparedness, and practical living here. I got to cover this stuff, y'all. I would be absolutely remiss because there are some people out there that are looking for the high points of things they got to pay attention to based on this podcast. That's a big one right there. And by the way, this was leaked by the U.S. Air Force, by personnel over in the U.S. Air Force, that basically leaked this out to The Intercept. And I'm glad they did, because the real truth of it is, look, we do not need another war. We are the American Empire, y'all. Think about this. Oh, you think I'm wrong? Well, what do you call a country that has 900 military bases in 130 countries? You think that qualifies as an empire? You know what happens to every single empire? We're doing basically just over 200 years what it took the Romans 2 millennia to do. And so I'm saying all this, that look, if you got young ones, people in high school or whatever, you know, thinking about the military, you might want to point some of this stuff out to them. Because at the end of the day, remember, that polecat Henry Kissinger, you know, the one that just died a little while ago. And I quote, I memorized it. You know what he said? Military men are big, stupid animals that should be used as tools for foreign policy. Now, that was Henry Kissinger. And all the other polecats all the way up that chain of command. You know, I was so stupid as a kid, I would have joined anyway, even if I knew back then that he said such a thing. I'd watched too many Delta Force movies and too many Navy SEALs movies. I mean, I was too into that stuff to not do this sort of thing. So it wouldn't have worked on me, but folks, get your young ones. You know, they may be looking for a draft. I don't know. And in fact, everybody should universally say absolutely not. Feed everybody in this country first. Get the people. Like I said, I don't want to see any more homeless vets or vets that are given. Don't ask me how I know. I used to work at the VA back in Leavenworth, Kansas. I saw what these guys would literally walk out of there with. Honest to goodness, grocery bags full of narcotics. They would go to the back gate out of the domiciliary where all the former inmates were, and they would sell this oxy right over the fence. You'd see it happen right there in the wintertime, mostly when it got darker early. So, I mean, this is exactly, we don't need more of those. We don't need more of that. We got a fentanyl problem. We got all kinds of problems. And so before we talk about sending our boys and girls over there to go die for rich men's wars, remember, go read that book by General Smedley Butler. Talked about him before. One of only 9 people to ever win the Medal of Honor twice. He would have been the only human in history to get it a third time, but he turned it down. He would have been the most decorated person in history. And he wrote a book. It's called War is a Racket. And he talks about in great detail how basically all of our guys and gals are used as cannon fodder. And if you think for a minute that our country wouldn't go ahead and murder 3 of our own Joes over there, well, you got a little bit of education to get onto. All right, I'm not going to make it that dark, y'all, but I want you to be aware of this because there are so many different ways. We got a financial crisis, and when all else fails, they take you to war. So don't be shocked if that's the next play. Just be ready. Stay alert, stay alive. All right, I don't have a download from Pastor Lon right now. And folks, I want to also remind you that, remember, unless you're one of those televangelists or one of these radio preachers, by and large, by and large, it's a thankless job. And you're really put upon by so many different things. I mean, being a pastor at a small church is probably the most thankless job on the planet. It really is. I mean, these people give, and, you know, they get wore down, they get beat down. And then when you're in a position like that, the enemy wants to swoop in and make your life even more difficult. So just be mindful and make sure you pray for Pastor Lon and your local pastors or any of your clergy or anybody that's in assistance to these people. Because all of those people, like I said, it is a thankless job. Nobody ever thinks about you until disaster strikes for the most part. So anyway, just like I said, we don't have a download for Pastor Lon, but keep him in your prayers and pray that the Lord bear him up and all the other people out there that are doing this selfless work. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, I ain't never seen one on TV. All right, so before we get into the good news, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, my grounding mat that I usually have over here when I'm broadcasting is not by my feet. It's over at Michelle's desk in the other part of this room. So I'm a little bit high on electrons. That's okay. I'll discharge when it's all said and done. But hey, grounding, if you check out people like Gary Brecka and all these other biohackers, man, they talk about the importance of grounding. You can spend a lot of money and get one of those PEMF mats, which is basically doing the same thing as a regular grounding mat. There's a little more oomph, but you don't need all that. You can buy grounding sheets over there. You can buy shielding. I got this hoodie from, I need to start wearing it in the videos, honestly. I got this little, not a hoodie, but a stocking cap that's basically shielded. So yeah, you can say I got a tinfoil hat on too. So good to go with all the other things. But anyway, look, y'all, you can't shield yourself enough. I've talked about other things that, you know, work on that stuff. But like I said, of all the other advertisers out there, when I hit them up saying, hey, can I test your product and talk about it? Redemption Shield were the only ones to actually get back with me. And we're going to have the owner of Redemption Shield on later this month. And she's going to go into the nuts and bolts of all these different things and healing modalities. I'm a big fan of grounding. You don't need to go out there and spend money on it if you can get yourself outside. But if you're sitting there watching TV, working at the computer, if you can possibly ground yourself, especially when you're working around all these devices that emit all these EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, and all these other bad things, if you can constantly ground yourself, you can shield yourself. That's why it's called Redemption Shield. Anyway, if you need anything they got, go check them out. 10% PERMA will get you 10% off. Man, really tongue-tied. Got another set. Hey, before I get into it, y'all, I'm telling you what. I'm going to talk about them here before long. I finally found a set of rubber boots that actually doggone work. I'll be doing a video on those before long, and I'm excited to tell everybody about it. Man, I've spent hundreds, probably between me and Michelle and William, over the last couple of years, probably $1,000 trying to find boots that don't leak. Because a lot of the work I do, I'm working in water or very soupy areas or stuff like that, you know. It's just the nature when you live in a rainforest. Finally got a pair of boots that actually works. So I'm going to let everybody know about that when the time is right. All right, let's go straight into the good news. Believe it or not, there is some out there. So I got to give you an update. So the European farmers step up the protest against the cost and green rules. Yeah, you heard me talk about it in the last show. I was talking about France and some of the other people out there. Man, people come down on France and they want to make like they're cowards. Well, look at the history of France. Where do you think Napoleon came from? They got it in their blood, y'all. And the thing, all of our high-end cooking methods, where do you think that came from? France. You start playing with the food over there, you are about to be dealt with, nephew. And honestly, they keep pushing it. They keep on pushing it. They're going to start a French Revolution 2.0. Because I know a couple of French people, nicest people you ever want to meet. But when you start messing around with their food, man, it is on. So, things are starting to escalate over there. And sadly, it's what's got to happen. So far, they haven't resorted to violence. And I hope they can do it without violence. But history shows that when you start playing with the food, I've told you before, food, entertainment, and a reasonable expectation of security. Talked about it last time. You break that down, you got mayhem. Folks, that's why the welfare system, if you ever wanted a little side note, you ever wonder why the welfare system works so well in the United States of Amnesia? Look at it. Food, entertainment, and a reasonable expectation of security. Remember, they make the welfare system just comfortable enough that you don't complain. That's by design. They do that by design. That is meant to be that way. So they give them just enough to just kind of limp along, and you know, you can do whatever, but you never revolt because you're supplying the basic needs of food, entertainment, and of course, everybody's got a TV and a cell phone these days, so that's covered, and a reasonable expectation of security, unless you live in the hood, which you're kind of grown up to expect some of this stuff. So yeah, just keep that in mind. So prayers out there for the French farmers and the people out there doing all the, I'm hoping it drips over to us. I really do. I hope we start standing up and saying, okay, enough is enough is enough. These polecats up there in D.C., you got to go. All right, so the next one is, this is good news to me, because I know it's just a tip of the iceberg, but man, it's at least making people aware that this insidious wickedness exists out there. So statewide human trafficking sting in California results in more than 500 arrests and dozens of rescued victims, y'all. Good night, man. I mean, actually, it was a total of 539 arrests and 65 total rescued victims, y'all. I mean, this is, we pray for these kids every single day, a couple times a day. It's just, this is why, look, my, I guess everybody needs a charity to work with. And mine has always been with these kids hooked up in child sex trafficking. Had a guy I viewed like a brother. And look, I didn't mean to go into all this, but I'm just going to say it. People sometimes wonder, well, why this incredible passion for, you know, these kids that are mixed up in ritual sex abuse or child sex trafficking and, you know, satanic ritual abuse, you name it. Why are you so jazzed up about it? Well, years ago, there was a guy I pretty much grew up with. His name was Travis. And he was kind of like a brother or cousin to me. We were real, real tight. Back in those days, man, of course, you didn't have a whole lot growing up in the 80s and stuff. And he was the only guy I could ever get to go fishing with me. And I mean, we grew up in, I was on the south side of Oklahoma City, and I loved to fish, even though half the time you don't catch anything. It was just being out there. I always had this call to be in the country and in the wild, especially the mountains. Travis would always go at the drop of a hat. And, you know, there was always this, I remember my dad early on took us all fishing. He would always come along. And I remember, you know, he was raised by a single mom. And I remember him saying one day, you could feel the melancholy in him. And he would say, man, you guys are so lucky you got a dad. I'm like, you got a dad, Travis? He says, I don't know who he is. Well, he came from a family where I think there was six kids and there might have been five different dads or whatever. And he was always troubled by that, but he was always appreciative that my dad always included him in whenever he would take us fishing. We had our problems in our family, and my dad, I mean, looking back at it, I'm pretty sure that 99% of his motive for taking us fishing, he always did things that didn't cost money, you dig? I mean, he would take us to go out, watch planes at the airport take off and land. I'm dead serious. That's how broke we were. We were literally, but I know now that 90% of it was to get away from my mom, who was an MK Ultra mess. Didn't know that for years, and anyway, Travis was, there was a guy in the Air Force. He had Tinker Air Force Base that wasn't far away. There was this guy, and his name was John. I remember him. Had this motorcycle. Came from their church. And like I said, there wasn't a dad in the house. And it was Travis and his nephew and niece. His oldest sister had basically kids, and they were about just a little bit younger than Travis and me. Anyway, this guy would come over with his motorcycle, and he was from the church, and he would always want to give somebody a ride. He'd take these, and he'd be, you know, flying up and down the road and everything, and he would ask me to get on there along with the other kids, and I was like, nah, nope, don't want anything to do with it. I don't know what it was. I know it was the good Lord looking after me. But anyway, it turns out that this guy had been molesting them for years. Years. Absolutely molesting. I won't say Travis and also all the rest of the young kids around there. He, like I said, he was in the Air Force. Years later, Travis OD'd. Didn't kill him that first time, but he OD'd. And then it was at that time during the OD that it finally came out what happened to him. Now, when he came out and said what happened to him. Now, remember, these are, we're kids. We're grown up to be butch at that time in America. And for him to admit such a thing, he dealt with a unbelievable amount of shame. Well, turns out that's when all the other kids came out and said, yeah, he did the same thing to me. Well, Travis lived in the hood. And here's the crazy part about all this. So this was probably 10 years after they were all molested, 10 years. I was in the Army at the time, and that's when it all basically came out. And sure enough, nobody ever went after this guy. There he was. I think he was on a gig in Germany. So the mom found out. Everybody found out. Travis tried to kill himself. And, yeah, this guy got away with it. Scot-free. Now, did he get busted on down the line? I don't know. His name was John. Later on, Travis, because of this, basically committed suicide. And it was that marked that day, going to his funeral, crying my eyes out, marked the day I said, I'm going to do everything I possibly can. That's where the seed began. That's where the seed began for me. So when I hear stories like this, y'all, it takes me right back. Did it happen to me? No. Could it have happened to me? Possibly. You know, and then so many other times we just skated on by. It is my duty, I feel, my mission, to eradicate the planet in any way that I'm able of this filth. And Travis, and there's been other examples that I've heard about too, but he's one of many. But anyway, these kids, these 65 that they rescued out there, y'all, they ain't never going to be the same. I know this is not what this podcast is all about, but y'all, what you may not know about me is a good majority of what we do here, whether it's in this podcast, a lot of the funds we get, where do you think it goes? We live a low consumption lifestyle. We don't drive new cars. We don't live in fancy places. We don't do any of that stuff. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not saying it because Jesus spoke very much about what happens to a person that goes on about this. But people wonder why this giant passion for this? Well, there you have it. Didn't really get on here to talk about that. But yeah, I've been asked so many times that I'm just going to finally say it. I mean, I don't like to be vulnerable. And when you talk about this kind of stuff, I guess it does make you vulnerable. But I guess I'm human just like everybody else. Anyway, third good news section is Philadelphia court orders Bayer to pay $2.5 billion to a man who developed cancer after exposure to Roundup weed killer. All right, how many years now have we known that Roundup is an absolute carcinogen? How many years? And we're still talking about this stuff. But I'm calling this good news, y'all. This is definitely good news because now maybe they will absolutely wipe Bayer out. Maybe some other people get on board and then some other people and then other people. Look, y'all, there's a documentary out there. It's called The World Against Monsanto. Go check it out. The World According to Monsanto. It's been years since I've watched it. And there's a lot of others like it. You know, same people that made Agent Orange in Vietnam, the dioxins that are still killing people over there right now. The dioxins probably up there in Ohio that are, who knows what it's doing. You know, the long-term effects, we don't even know. But folks, I mean, this is good news. So I'm going to definitely chalk that up in the good news column because you know what? Maybe it might open the floodgates. And I'm hoping tangentially that because of what happened here, maybe some other people will start to go after some of these companies that promoted, this latest pestilence and the cure, and I'm putting that in quotes, the so-called cure to this latest pestilence that was manufactured. Yeah. Maybe there's a whole lot of doctors out there that don't get to be doctors anymore. Maybe there's a whole lot of Anthony Fauci's and people like him. See, I keep forgetting I can say whatever I want now. I'm not on YouTube anymore. At least I can say what I want for now. We'll see how long that lasts. But I'm hoping that it opens up the floodgates and now these lawsuits turn into something consequential. That it gets to a point of critical mass that the majority finally wake up. Because right now, people are still very much in their slumber regarding the things that were put into them. And like I said, there are healing modalities out there. I don't know where all of them are or what they are, but they do exist. All right, but that said, y'all, we're going to go into my man, Eric Sider. That's my dog right there, y'all. Bam, knocked it out of the park. And I got to give a hat tip to that little Chris Rock part. Big fan to the old Chris Rock. Not so much to the latest Chris Rock. They got all woke. Yeah, I think wokeism ruined comedy. But anyway, that wealth thing, to me, man, good night. That means so much in terms. I probably ought to do a show on that because to me, it's not all dollars and cents. How many people with money are so unhappy? Now, that old saying that goes like, you know, evil may come to a man with money, but tyranny comes surely to him without it. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think our latest, you know, the latest things that are going on in our society kind of help corroborate that belief. But yeah, I really need to, every single time you reach out, bro, I'm over here thinking, good night, man. I probably should do a show on that. And this is no exception. All right, y'all, before I get into the main topic, you're going to like this one. And it's going to be something that helps you in all aspects of your life. Just stay tuned. Before we get into it, remember EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, lightning is your number one threat on your hacienda. So anything gets downstream of that EMP Shield that's on your house, 25 G's is what they're going to cover you for. So I love my EMP Shield. And plus, it's also the way I got it set up is that it also tells me whether or not the power's on. So that's a really good thing, too. That's a little bit complicated electrical work. I can't really get into it here, but there's so many overlaps in which you can do it. You can put it on your vehicle. And like I said, something jumps off. I don't need to go to the club. I just need to get to the house. That's what I'm talking about. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, y'all, anybody that knows me knows that I am one massive fan of acronyms. I love acronyms because I got into the acronym thing basically through the military because it's a way to condense your brain's ability to memorize things and to actually make you recall. So I have all kinds of acronyms you've heard me talk about, but I'm going to introduce you to one today that has been honestly the most consequential that I've learned of late. I learned it weeks ago. I've been applying it, and I'm going to share it with you today. Now, I want to give a hat tip to, I don't recall the name of the guest who brought it up, but it was like I listened to this thing over and over and over, and I've since applied it to me. It was on the Ed Milet Show, and the acronym is called TERMS, T-E-R-M-S. Now, you're thinking, okay, well, it's an acronym. I'm using that acronym to govern whether or not I say yes or no to just about everything. So what does it stand for? T-E-R-M-S, T, time, energy, resources, money, and here's the one that knocked my junk into my watch pocket, S, sanity. Time, energy, resources, money, and sanity, okay? If that is not less than the ROI or return on investment, and the future value and the growth that I get out of it, the answer is no. All right, let me break that down. So let's say you're asked to do a certain thing or you're thinking about doing a certain thing. It doesn't even have to be that somebody asked you. He was using it in terms of business, but I've been applying it to just about every part of my life right now. Michelle and I had a massive conversation about it this morning in the kitchen after we were done with chores. And I got it written down right there on the blackboard in the kitchen, right there. So I see it every single day to burn it into my mind. Well, it's thoroughly learned at this point. So think about it. Let's say you're thinking about starting a business. Okay, what's the time involved? How much energy? Do I have the resources? Where do I need to go to get them? Which is also a throwback to the energy to a certain extent. Money. Is there any money involved? Eric just talked about it a minute ago in terms of wealth and, you know. And then the most important thing to me and Michelle, when she heard it too, I knew when I played it for her, she was going to be floored just like I was because the S is the one that was the most important part. And it's the part I've been leaving out in my metric, and that is sanity. Is working with these people on this project going to drive me into therapy? Folks, I'm laughing because that has happened more times than I can count. And that has got to be less than the other side. So it's basically an equation. So the terms have to be less than the ROI, the FV, or future value of whatever that prospect may be, and also your personal growth. If the future value, the ROI, and the personal growth do not exceed the terms, the answer is a resounding no. I've started governing how I do everything. Okay, so it's on the farm. Thinking about another project, okay? I'll give you a prime example. Wanting to put a couple of ponds in down the way. I know that it has to happen, not only for a preparedness component, but also it's just wise. And when I'm looking at a pond, I'm thinking, okay, I can have this pond in such a way where I create a bunch of edge, which we've talked about right here on this podcast. Also, if I got a pond, well, can I stock it? Well, oh, cool. There's another protein source. If I got a pond and I got stock in it, maybe I want to put some mulberry trees that fall and feed the fish. Sound like a symbiotic relationship to you? Now, as I'm going through that, I'm saying, okay, what's the time that's going to take? Well, technically, William and I built ponds together, but I don't have the bandwidth to do it. So the time to do that particular project, I'm going to have to farm it out, which brings me into the E, energy. Well, if I'm farming it out, my energy, after lining this person out, if he's capable or she's capable, okay, that kind of removes me from the equation also. R, resources. Okay, well, dirt is pretty much all that's required there unless I'm in a place where I got to bring in clay. Okay, now we do have methods in which we can glaze a pond and everything, but let's just say I'm not going to use that route and put pigs in there. Let's say I got a, or glaze a pond rather, or ducks or geese or whatever the case may be. So in that case, I'm saying resources. Okay, I may have to bring in some clay, but that's going to be that person that digs that pond to make that judgment for me. And then M, money. That's honestly in this equation the biggest one. Do I have what it takes to pay this person to do this work? And then also, if they're going to come in and do this pond for me, can I put some more ponds uphill? Because if I have a pond there, it's going to prevent so many, it's going to solve so many other problems. But if he's already here, I'm thinking, okay, well, if you're here to do one pond, you probably cut me a break to do two. And even a bigger break if you did three, especially if they're more small pocket kind of ponds. Things that basically interrupt the water to the big pond. That's another story altogether. So, money, do I have it? I don't know because I haven't got the guy yet out here yet. We're not the Rockefellers, so I got to be very cautious about this stuff. We got aging vehicles, as I've talked about before. And then S, sanity. And I'm telling you, when it comes to projects like this, one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to doing any kind of work with a bunch of people is if I line you out on something, especially if I'm the one in charge, every person in charge hates this. So I'm going to tell you what it is. When I line you out on a project and I ask, do you have any questions? And then you pester me every 10 minutes with a question, it's going to drive me nuts. It'll drive anybody nuts that's in that position. I need to, as we say in the electric trade, line me out and leave me alone. If you're working with a person that has to be babysat every step of the way, then maybe you ought not to be working with that person. If I can't line you out, answer all your questions up front, and yeah, if you have something that was left out clearly, ask the question. But if it's every, and there, I can't even tell you how many people I've worked around like this. Every 10 minutes, I need to put my brain into something else. I can't babysit your project. I gave it to you and I'm expecting you to run with it. You come across any problems that are reasonable, deal with it. Don't come to me every 5 minutes. That's the biggest quotient when it comes to sanity. I mean that, y'all, especially if you're in a position of leadership. If you have to constantly, that's why in the trades, a foreman, it's all that foreman can do, whether, and I don't care what trade it is, electric trade, carpenter trade, it doesn't matter. Nine times that foreman's job is beans and bullets, basically getting you the information and the logistics and the material you need to get that job done. So in a project like that, how much is my sanity going to be taxed? Nine times out of 10, I know that when you hire an operator who's experienced, they're going to pretty much know where all the bodies are buried. In fact, if you hire one locally, they generally know before they even get started what they're going to run into. So now I'm going to look at the other side of that equation. The terms right now are pretty doggone low for a project like that. Now, let's go on the other side of the equation. Remember, it has to be more than the terms. So if you want to, do it this way. Write it down, T-E-R-M-S. Put a period behind each one so you know it's an acronym. Time, energy, resources, money, and sanity. Put a less than sign facing terms. And then on the other side of that, the ROI, return on investment. What do I get out of that? Most people, 9 times out of 10, when they put in a pond, it's for vanity purposes. Just from experience. That's what I've seen. Well, I'm the permaculture pimp daddy, y'all. I don't do things for that. I do them because it's got to be highly functional. It's got to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, my return on investment is okay. It gets me one step more. Even though water comes easily in a place like this, having backup water to the backup to the backup to the backup ain't going to hurt. Having an additional protein source is not going to hurt. Having a joy component, which is what I'm worst at in permaculture, is looking, and this is where Eric and Michelle have taught me a lot in terms of permaculture, is it beautiful? I don't spend enough time thinking about that. To me, it's always been function over form, and I've been very, very lousy at balancing those things. But Eric and Michelle are exceptionally good at that. Stefan is really good at that too, Stefan Subkoviak. Okay, cool. That's another return on investment. It doesn't all have to be dollars and cents. That return on investment to me are the other benefits that I'm getting out of it. Recreation. And, you know, also the aquaculture that can be created around it. Can I put chinampas in there? Does it make sense? To me, it does. So future value. Okay, so far, I'm already a yes based on my return on investment, okay? Gee, what else do I get out of it? Let me just throw these in there because I didn't throw it in there. Whenever you have a body of water, you create microclimates that you can't create otherwise. So the specific heat of water, meaning the amount of energy it takes to raise 1 gram of water, I think 1 degree, is higher than any other natural substance on Earth, which means I can create a microclimate that favors, I might be able to get a much longer growing season out of certain perennials that I want to put around these ponds. That's another return on investment. Fruit trees, mulberry trees. I talked about that a minute ago. Shade. I mean, I'm already a yes based on that, but now let's talk about the FV, Foxtrot Victor, future value. Okay. Well, in terms of dollars and cents, well, every water feature you put on your property only increases its value, but it's not my intention to ever leave here. I mean, the Lord has different plans. Well, we'll see. But right now, the future value in terms of dollars and cents, yes, it's a plus. It's definitely a plus. The plus that you got to ask is the amount that it costs to put it in. Is it going to overlay? Is it worth the future value? To me, that answer is a resounding yes, depending on what the cost is, especially if I can bundle other earthworks in the same project. I got a driveway that needs to get squared away. Okay, maybe I can throw that in there. Talking about trying to put in a earthship's retaining wall. Maybe I can get them to do that too. I don't know. It's all a matter of there's a lot to be done there. And so I'm already a yes based on that. Okay, so that's a project. Now, let's say, this is going to sound crazy, but just hear me out here. You're being invited over to somebody's house to eat. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a family dinner. Maybe it's just a gathering at work. Use the same metric. So let's say they're going out for whatever after work, they're going to eat dinner. I've always said no to those things because I'm like, man, I've already spent 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours with you guys. Not about to spend my time off being around you even more. If I can, there's a lot of time I spend on the road. So it's like, no, man, I really need to be in my own thoughts right now. There's a book I want to read. There's something else. So the answer was always no. But let's say it's going to be one of those things. Let's say it's a family dinner and you're going to be over there fussing and fighting. So the time, the energy, that might be taxing. So the energy quotient may be up there. Resources, maybe it doesn't require much. Money, well, maybe the gas money to get there. And then that S is the absolute deal breaker once I figured out what that was, and it's sanity. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not the projects that drive you crazy. It's dealing with either unproductive people or people that wear you out. It's the 80-20 rule. There's an official name for that, but that phenomenon does exist. The 80-20 rule. 20% of the people will cause you 80% of the heartache. It's just a fact. It happens that way. So you know, you do that quotient on every single aspect of your life, folks, you might be absolutely astonished at how that works out for you. All right, hopefully that was a blessing to you. If it was, let me know. Email me, billy@permapastorsfarm@gmail.com. With that, we'll go on my man, Chef Snow. Man, that's a fantastic idea. Man, thanks, Chef Snow. That's another little feather in my hat I never really thought about. I'm always putting back typically, man, I love how portable that is. And man, that's something I'm really going to have to examine a little bit more. I never even thought about doing such a thing, putting back protein powder. You know, we got a lot of food that we freeze dry. And so there's another reason you might want to think about a freeze dryer if you can. I mean, it's not cheap, but, you know, and we do have links for those down below if you require one. But, man, I never thought about doing that. I wonder if you can make your own egg white powder. Well, they got powdered eggs. I wonder, probably tastes weird if you had the yolks in it. But, anyway, that's a fantastic idea, man. I'll have to check that out. All right, so before we get into the Q&A, y'all, remember TexasBoys.com. Also, the Fearless Podcast. Boy, they're talking about stuff that can never be heard on YouTube. If they are, I guarantee it's getting suppressed. I know they had a YouTube channel, but I wonder if they have this. I have to check them out. I haven't been around there lately. But I know their shows as of late, man, have been really, really hard hitting. So anyway, they got that food for us in a box. They got a lot of cool stuff over there. Some of that honey, some of that whipped up honey. And they also sell halves, wholes, you name it. TexasBoys.com, Fearless Podcast. Go check them out. You'll be glad you did. All right, so right out of the gates, Matthew. Love hearing from Matthew. Hey, Billy, I was thinking of doing Dr. Ingham's soil science course. What brand and model of microscope do you recommend for the course? Well, I knew you were going to ask that question. And Michelle went ahead and looked it up. We got a couple of them. William, when he took off, he's got one of them. Now we got the one that we have here, and it's an OMAX 40X 1600X trinocular biological compound microscope. Now, you don't have to go as highfalutin as some of the stuff we have around here. In fact, if you do that course, you're not even going to be looking at a microscope right off the bat. It's going to be a little while down the line, and it's going to take you some time to get through that course. So, and then they're also going to offer recommendations of places and even recommendations where you might go to find something like that. You don't have to spend a lot of money for a microscope, but it does help because you're going to have other things where you like wire it into your computer so you can see things a whole lot easier. And it gives me a headache if I'm looking under that oculars or those eyepieces way too long. So anyway, yeah, that's one of the ways to go about it. Let's see here. We got, I think it's Melissa here. It says, good morning. I've been listening to the Pimpcast and I started my composting. I just don't have enough to do everything that I planned this spring. I know tilling is bad. My question is, if I don't have enough compost to plant all the things I'm getting ready to plant, is it okay to till and plant cover crops that will enhance the soil until I get enough compost. Okay, let me stop right there because this is, yeah, that's beautiful. That's like Fukuoka 101 is what you're talking about there. So I would highly recommend, if you don't have enough compost, I recommend everybody in the sound of my voice, first of all, get the book and read it. It's not a long read, and it's actually quite poetic when you read it, even though it's translated from Japanese. One Straw Revolution by Fukuoka, it's one of my favorite books because one of his methods was he would go out there, plant a bunch of clover, and then when it was time for him to plant something else, he'd just pluck out the clover that he needed and put in that start to the plant. So that was one of the ways he did it. There's other methods of doing it, but that sounds like where you're headed there. She says, I'm also planting planning to seed my pond with millet, sorghum, and cattail. I'm also planting a lot of clover, vetch, zinnias. Boy, sounds like you're a permaculture designer. Also got the food forest in a box from the Texas boys, and would love to get some of your comfrey root settings. Yeah, we're hoping we'll have some comfrey maybe in March. Depends on what they do with the weather, you know, and it depends on how that plans out. But sounds like you're off and running and you're doing a lot of awesome things. But just, I always caution people, Melissa, make sure you just kind of take it slow, especially when you're getting started on this kind of stuff. You can kind of overwhelm yourself because we're so excited about these things. But man, it sounds like you're already, sounds like you already read One Straw Revolution by what you're talking about. So you might check that book out because it's going to go into much greater detail than I'm able to do right here in this podcast. But yeah, it sounds like it's a great idea. And go back to what I said in the beginning of the podcast regarding Spearco's method, Jack Spearco's method on doing a bioreactor. Depending on the space you live in, you can do an 18-day compost. And then you can take the other trick like Jeff Lawton, the one I talked about before, where you can take some oat powder. And I prefer to make it. Take some oat powder, stick it in your finished 18-day compost, give it another 3 weeks, and your fungal dominance is really, really starting to blow up at that point. Or you can do something a more laissez-faire, laid-back kind of method, but you're going to have to wait about a year on it, and that's that bioreactor. So you got options out there. But yeah, and if you have a little bit of compost, to go to that other part of your question, if you have just a little compost, consider learning how to make extract out of it. I'll tell you what I do in a nutshell. I was talking to Jack Spearco about it anyway. I basically get a 400 micron bag, put it depends on how well your compost is as to how well this works. But if you have decent compost, pretty decent compost, take a couple of handfuls, stick it in a 400 micron bag, and then massage it under the water. Probably ought to do another Patreon video on about how I go about doing that, the full process. Well, I'd take it, stick those handfuls in there, massage it under the water in a 5-gallon bucket, and I dunk it 3 times. I'll go through the whole process. I really need to do that video. Maybe I can get that done tomorrow. Okay, so I go through that process, get it done, and then I repeat it 4 more times in that same bucket of water. Now, the old compost, when it comes out, put it in another bucket, use it. You can either throw it back into your pile, let it re-inoculate, or you can stick it around trees. A lot of different ways to go about it. Right there, man, I got some turbocharged extract. I mean turbocharged. And so if you have just a little bit of compost, you'd be shocked how far really good biocomplete compost. I mean, I think it's like 1 gallon per acre. That's how, and that's like, we're talking, I don't mean to overtalk anybody, but basically you won't know exactly what I'm talking about unless you have microscope skills. But basically, if you have really good compost and you know that it's good, go ahead and try and make an extract out of it because you can drag that stuff out so far it'll make your head spin. All right, Steve B, sorry about that. Hi, Billy and Michelle. Top of the morning to you and yours. Remember when Billy was banging on the phone, so he was talking about the phone radiation. I did a video on that a while back. Well, I do not have a meter to check radiation levels, so I'm going to ask you, he's using his phone basically as an alarm clock in his sleeping quarters. And this is the day the Lord has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for speaking those words. Yeah, thank you so much, Steve. All right, this might be very helpful to a lot of people out there. So let's say you have a spare phone and let's say it's not hooked up. It doesn't have service, but as long as you get that house Wi-Fi on, it's transmitting to that. But even if you don't have the Wi-Fi on, if you don't have it in airplane mode, I guarantee it is kicking out a signal. Now, the question is, do you trust airplane mode? Every time I've tested it, yes. It is basically, I've heard others, and I wish I could reference you to who those people were, talk about that even in airplane mode, that it will pulse every once in a while. So if you got it near you, I would definitely strongly consider about getting a Faraday bag from Redemption Shield. Now, I have, and I'm going to put them on blast here because I think it's cold-blooded. They're selling junk. I bought that one from InfoWars that they had. And even with an old phone, I mean, you could get phone calls right through the bag. If you get any signal at all through a Faraday bag, it ain't working. Or they have some that deaden the signal. They do have those that, the one that's like a pouch, they have that Redemption Shield. It's meant to like stifle the signal. You still get a signal through it, but it stifles it a great deal, so it's not so harmful. But it is in a bulky pouch. Not a big fan of it. But as far as using it in your sleeping quarters, I would put it in airplane mode, and I would still consider a Faraday bag as well. Even if you're one of the people like myself, like let's say I use my spare phone, you can put it in a Faraday bag, but I also, because I'm really into this biohacking and I'm kind of inventing some methods myself. One of the things I do, one of the things I have is that I've overlaid my voice reading the Psalms or reading other motivational things where subconsciously, before you go into that theta state, before you're really in sleep, that's a really good time to reprogram your mind for good things. So I've overlaid with some of those healing frequencies from wholetones.com. I've overlaid some of those healing frequencies with a guy reading the Psalms. So I got the two of them overlaid together, and I play that before I go to sleep, or at least try to remember to. But it's always best to take that phone, definitely. If you don't have a Faraday bag, put it in airplane mode. That is an absolute must. Otherwise, whether with or without a signal, it is still transmitting in the most powerful way. So absolute must. Thank you so much for that question, because that's really important. I know a lot of folks use it. I didn't stop to think about really how many people use their phones as an alarm clock. I mean, it just makes good sense. And I never really addressed that. So if you're one of those people, consider what I just said there. I've been testing this stuff. The only thing I left undone so far, because I did come up with a way, it was at Shungite, verifiedshungite.com was the only thing that absolutely positively eliminated all of the RF frequencies coming off those phones. I haven't found, people talked about this Organite and some of this other stuff. Well, these patches you stick on a phone, not one of them works. In fact, I don't even know how these people sleep at night, because they got to know that what they're selling, what you're putting on the back of these phones, do absolutely nothing. It's not like it does 1%. It does nothing to reduce that. The only thing that I found that works, if you're wanting to completely eliminate it, is verifiedshungite.com. They have these things you can stick on the back of your phone case, and I've tested it, and it is the only thing out there that even comes close to working, but it is expensive. It does cost some money. So hopefully all that was a blessing to y'all. Hey, consider, really, really, want to kind of circle back one last time. Think about the terms on everything in your life, y'all. Till next time, stay alert, stay alive.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.